have to fear is...
In war, there is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we burn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
You found your way to the intersection of faith and politics. Wallbuilders Live with David Barton and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green. We're here with David Barton, and we're going to talk today about legislation that can impact you where you are in your state. Everything we try to do on this program, we take two approaches. Biblical approach, what's the Bible say about it? What should our biblical worldview be on it? And a historical approach. And I think, David, that's resounding with people. Lots of folks kind of, actually, they've been searching for that, saying, hey, how do I look at what's happening in the country today? Whatever the issue, might be abortion, might be marriage, might be the economy, all these different things. What am I supposed to believe about these things? We don't get enough of it from the pulpit, I think. We're starting to get that. I
mean, starting to get there. Yeah, starting to see a change.
What'd you spoke to about 5,000 pastors last year.
I mean, yeah, last year's about 5,500 pastors that we know of, that we kept track of.
So they're hungry. They want to teach this. You have the pastor's briefing in D.C. several times a year. In fact, we'll get the dates up hopefully on the website today so folks can see that. But they're hungry.
Well, let me tell you about the pastor's briefing.
Yeah.
Because we set up three this year in D.C., and we hadn't any more sent out the notice of it than they all three booked out, and we've had a waiting list going for, I mean, months.
So maybe
this thing.
We shouldn't give out the,
the
dates.
But how cool it is that guys are wanting to get engaged in the culture, wanting to see what's happening, wanting to see what's going on, because we get these guys there, and we get them in Congress, on Capitol Hill, in congressional rooms, and we'll have 12, 15, 17 members of Congress come through and share things with them going on, share their faith, share the culture war, share the prayer habits, share everything else. And we're just not used to seeing that on the news. You look on the news and the guys you see on both sides up there, they're pretty secular guys. And it kind of shocks these pastors to find out there's some real ministry-oriented guys in Congress.
Well, and you say real.
Real.
Real is exactly
real right.
Real
is exactly
real.
Right.
I mean, I've never been there with you and sat through that briefing that I wasn't moved at some point to tears because these guys bear their hearts. And it's a neat thing, kind of a closed-door deal. No media. No, you know, these pastors get to really, I think, sharpen countenance with these legislators.
But look how many are wanting to go. I mean, just the fact that we used to keep the invitation open, you know, till just a couple of weeks before the briefing. Well, the ones we got out in October are already filled now.
Wow.
I mean, we're sitting months away, and they filled months in advance. And that kind of tells you what's happening in the pulpit.
Well,
so
we're
seeing good changes.
You talked about the briefing, but you also take them through on a spiritual heritage tour the night before, which is just amazing.
And so do you. I mean, you do those tours at Congress
but
as well.
But there's nothing like being in the room where it happened.
You know
what I mean?
Exactly.
We get to tell these stories when we go speak somewhere, but when you're standing right there in the very spot, you know, where John Quincy Adams made his Amistad, you know, arguments or whatever the particular story is. There's just something about it, and it moves
these
pastors to know that that's their history.
Yeah.
That's what and especially the pastors finding out what the role of pastors was in our history, seeing all those statues and paintings and guys that were just like them from the pulpit impacting the culture.
Well, you know, as you pointed out, they get to hear real guys in Congress, real men and women of faith and character. And we got a lot of those at the state level as well. I mean, we got one we're going to have today from our state of Texas, but we've been having, in the last couple months, legislators on from all sorts of places and all sorts of states, but we're going to Texas today, and
this is a bill that hopefully will take catch fire other states.
That's
so we
right.
want folks listening from other states to know you can take this bill. When you find out from this interview today what we're talking about, you want to take this idea to your legislator.
And I tell you, this guy is a great guy. He, interestingly enough, he has a really diverse background before he got in Congress or before he got in the state legislature, but he is a broadcaster. He's an author. He's a film producer. He had the top-rated talk show in the state of Texas. You see him on MSNBC, O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, you know, Hannity, all these things. He's a guest host for Laura Ingraham and Michael Reagan. So, I mean, he's really known all over the nation. And he used to be on all sorts of television networks back before he came to Texas. So I guess
you know what? You're really worrying me now, David, because we had Mike Pence on, congressman from Indiana,
and
you told me he was a former radio host and then went to Congress. Now you got
I setting you up for something?
No, you're saying that our lives could be dramatically demoted from being radio host to having to go into politics
and
be elected. So, no, this is
moving downhill in a hurry.
That's right. Now, this is a great guy, Dan Patrick, state senator from here in Texas. And this bill, folks, you're going to love this. It's a great idea, and we need to be doing it all over the country. As we go to break and we'll come back with State Senator Dan Patrick, we want to welcome our listeners from Pecos, Texas, at 91.3 FM, joining us now on Wahlberg's
Live. Hey, that's Judge Roy Bean country out there.
Pecos, Texas.
Pecos, Texas. That's great.
We'll be right back with State Senator Dan Patrick. You're listening to Wahlberg's Live with David Barton and Rick Green. Hey friends, Rick Green. I want to tell you about a great wall builders program called Patriot Academy. It's for 16 to 25-year-old young leaders. We train them in a biblical worldview and how to get involved and make a difference. They get to come to the state capitol in Texas and serve as a state representative. But rather than find out about it from me, listen to the students that are actually there participating.
Patriot Academy is essential to the preparation, training, and equipping of the next generation of conservative leaders.
I just feel that this is the most hands-on experience that anyone our age can even attempt to have.
If you want to get involved in the political process, no matter what area, staff, campaign, you want to be an elected official, this is the place to come to find out and to test yourself if you have what it takes.
And if you're one of those young conservative leaders, you'll find that Patriot Academy will give you an in-depth, hands-on experience as to what it's like to really be part of the political process.
Whether you have it, friends, a great opportunity for 16 to 25-year-olds to become the next generation of leadership. Find out more at patriotacademy.com.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
We're back here at the intersection of faith and politics. Wahlberg's Live with David Barton and Rick Green. Our guest today, Texas State Senator Dan Patrick. Sounds like you're on the floor right there in the Senate right now. Senator, how are you, sir?
I am great, Rick. Good to talk to you and good to be with you.
Hey, you've got a great piece of legislation we wanted to let folks know about and kind of find out how it was going for you. It would require an ultrasound before an abortion. Tell us what kind of led to this bill and whether it's been done elsewhere and what the response is.
Well, this is a bill, Rick, that we passed out of the Senate last session. And I was really gratified that we passed it out with bipartisan support, including four Democrats who joined me on the bill, even though two Republicans didn't, which was always a shock. But we passed out of the Senate last time, and unfortunately it did not pass in the House. And so we're going to bring it through again, and we've actually improved the bill this time. And what it says, Rick, is that if a doctor is performing an abortion, he must do an ultrasound, which is just, you know, that's just good medical practice. I mean, you wouldn't set a broken leg without taking an x-ray, so why would you have a procedure like an abortion without taking an ultrasound? So it insists that the doctor performing the abortion takes an ultrasound and takes the heartbeat and informs the woman who's about to have the abortion that he has an ultrasound and a heartbeat. It's inform and consent. And then she has the choice of listening to the heartbeat or seeing the ultrasound. What we're trying to do, Rick, in this legislation is, number one, protect women from going to doctors who would use less than the best medical practices. And secondly, what we're trying to do, obviously, and most importantly here, is save the lives of babies in the womb. Because I believe, as the crisis pregnancy centers have proven with ultrasound, that when women realize that's not just a blob of cells or a mass, but it's actually a baby, their baby, they see their baby, they hear the heartbeat, that many women will make the decision not to go through with the abortion.
Yeah, I think you're right, Senator. I think that's part of the reason this young generation coming up behind us is more pro-life than we've seen, because they've seen the science. They've seen these pictures, these 4D images, and they're realizing this is really life. So I think it would have that impact.
Yeah, you know, it's real interesting, Rick. There's a great group that started out of College Station called 40 Days for Life, and they started 3 years ago out of one campus, out of Texas A&M, 40 days of praying, fasting for life. And now it's in 160 cities. And I interviewed on my radio show, one of the young ladies involved with the movement. And I said to her, do you believe the younger generation is more pro-life than the older generation? And she said something to me, Rick, that I had not really thought of before. She said, well, I believe we are, because all of us have been born since Roe v. Wade.
Mm.
And we realize that our birth was not guaranteed.
Wow.
That's an amazing statement.
I've never thought about that.
I had never thought about it, Rick. You and I, born before Roe v. Wade, we took for granted that when our moms became pregnant, we would be born. But children born after Roe v. Wade have to ask that question. Did their mother ever consider having an abortion. And so they really cherish the life they've been given by their mother. And I think that's why you're seeing a younger generation react to this pro-life, pro-choice argument and come down on the side of pro-life.
I think you're 100% right. What about this legislation in terms of other states? Will we be the first state to do this, or have we seen other states pass this?
A few other states have a version of the bill. But we would be, our bill, I believe, would be the strongest and best bill in the United States and a model for other states to follow, particularly since we've added the heartbeat this session to the bill. And again, you know, last session, what I, on the Senate floor, when I debated this bill, and you've been in the legislature, you know how the process works, and I was being asked the tough questions, you know, I always came back to one argument that I don't think they could debate. And I said, what senator on this floor from either party would possibly want a friend, a relative of theirs to go to a doctor for an abortion and that doctor not even perform an ultrasound to see where the baby is, to make sure there's a baby? I mean, what could anyone send their daughter, their wife, their sister, and not ask that, not require that?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting. You said to make sure there's a baby there. I just read yesterday about Wayne Christian's bill.
Yes.
I had never even thought about this concept of abortion doctors, you know, performing a supposed abortion when there wasn't even a baby, just to get the money. So it seems like, you know, maybe that'll pick up some steam for you in the House with Christian's idea that this,
yes,
your bill would actually solve that problem as well.
Yes, and again, I make the argument to them, if the person you love, the woman in your life you love, if she broke her leg, would you let her go to a doctor that said it without an X-ray? Of course not.
Right.
And so I talk about women's health, but I also talk about obviously saving the life of the babies. And the other thing, Rick, that is interesting to me in this process is when we had testimony, and I serve on Health and Human Services, so the bill was in our committee. When I had testimony, there was a woman there from NARAL, a strong pro-choice group, of course, and she said this bill wasn't needed because 80% of the doctors do an ultrasound already at Planned Parenthood. And I said, well, wait a minute. What about that other 20%? If you already agree that 80% are doing it because it's best medical practices, shouldn't we be assured that 100% of doctors are doing it? They didn't really have an answer. And then, of course, I asked the question, well, if these 80% of doctors with Planned Parenthood are now doing an ultrasound, are they showing it to the woman?
Mm.
Are they telling the woman they have it? And of course the answer is no.
Yeah.
So what this bill would do is close that gap of doctors who are not performing abortions, that I think are practicing very dangerous medicine. And number two, it would force the doctors to inform the woman that he has done both an ultrasound and a heartbeat. And I believe that many women will be moved to say, can I see it? And when they do, they will stop the process right there.
Yeah, sounds like she really helped you, because I didn't know 80% were already doing it. That takes,
yes,
away any argument that this is cumbersome on the docker, that it's more,
yes,
expensive, all those things. Right back with more from Senator Dan Patrick. He's a state senator here in Texas on the floor right now, and a very important bill here that we want folks to know about, not only in Texas to be able to call their senators and encourage their support, but across the country. This would be a great bill for you to take to your state legislator in the House or the Senate, either one, and get it moving in your state. We'll be right back on Wall Builders Live with David Barton and Rick Green.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Shortly after the American Revolution, America had become the envy of the world. It still remains a wonder of the modern world as 219 years later, America has become the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world. What was the foundation upon which our founding fathers established this great nation? According to John Adams, the foundation was Christianity. John Adams declared, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Now I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." According to Founding Father John Adams, it was the principles of Christianity which formed the foundation for American government.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Back for more here at the intersection of faith and politics. Our guest, Senator Dan Patrick of Texas, a very important bill that would require an ultrasound before an abortion. The mother would not have to look at it, but it would at least be offered to her and could have a huge impact on the number of abortions out there, and certainly just good medical procedure. Talking to Senator Patrick here about what happened last time, passed it out of the Senate, need to get it through the House. This time we got to get back through the Senate again, and some of the objections out there that you've overcome, obviously. Is there any argument for those, you know, the 20% that are not using the ultrasound now? Any argument that maybe they're in clinics that can't afford to have an ultrasound machine? How do you get around that sort of thing?
No, you know, I think the argument would be, if you're going to be in that industry, and what a terrible industry to be in, but if you're going to be in the industry of making money by taking the lives of babies from the womb, you better be sure you have the money to have an ultrasound machine so you can do it. You know, one of the other arguments, which I found just silly last session by those who voted against me, was that this was putting too much of a hardship on the woman, that it was already a difficult decision to have an abortion, and that by confronting her with the fact that there's an ultrasound that she could see, that that would only create more stress. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you're not worried about what's going to happen to that baby in the womb, but you're worried about the stress on this woman who has to see that baby in the womb. I mean, Rick, at the end of the day, every pro-life person knows there is no argument against protecting the life in the womb.
Yeah.
Look, whenever someone says to me how old they are, like I have a birthday coming up, and so if I ask someone and they say, well, I'm 23 today, I said, no, you're 23 and 9 months.
Yeah.
Life began at conception.
Well, yeah, and that same argument that you were hearing, that sounds exactly like the Barack Obama argument against saving the babies that survived a botched abortion. He didn't want the mom to have to revisit her decision. So all the emphasis is on the stress of the mother. I wish you the best, Senator. You got a great House author over there in Frank Court.
Yeah.
I hope he can push it through over there, and hope you'll let us know how it's going. Is this the kind of thing you think he'll push right to the end of the session, or what do you expect?
No, I'm actually hoping to get it out quickly last session because it was a bill out of left field. It was a bill that I filed that no one was really paying attention to. No one thought I could get out of committee. I passed it out 9-1 with the Democrats supporting me, or 8-1 out of committee. And then it got to the floor, and we passed it out with 22 votes out of 31. And it surprised everyone. And then it got hung up in the House with all the shenanigans that were going on with the Speaker last time, and a lot of bills got killed.
Yeah.
So this time we're going to move it fast. And it's in state affairs this time, interestingly enough, not in Health and Human. And on the members in that committee, I already have 80% of them are co-authors of the bill.
Excellent.
Including a Democrat. So we'll get it out of committee. We'll get it to the floor. I'm one vote short on the floor right now because Kim Brimer was defeated by Wendy Davis last session. And so I have one more Democrat and one less Republican. So I'm one vote short, but I'll work. I'll get it. God will deliver that vote. We'll pass this out of the Senate and get it to the House.
Well, we encourage all our listeners across Texas to call their state senators and their House members. Let them know about this. We'll have links on the website today at wallbuilderslive.com so you can get more info. On the House side, have they moved it? You know what committee they're going to be in with Court?
I do not know. There are a few senators that I need our listeners to pray for, that they move to vote for this bill and just offer them up in prayers and ask them to have a change of heart to support this bill so we can pass it out. Because we have 80,000 abortions a year in the state of Texas. Mm. 80,000 a year.
Yeah, we'll do it, Senator. Thank you for your hard work. I got to give you a shout out for one. You got a great lady working for you there in Houston, Sarah Singleton. Her son Alex has been through our program at Patriot Academy there at the Capitol. So
absolutely,
you got some great people on your team, man.
Hey, I have great people. The Lord blessed me and surrounded me with everybody I needed.
Well, bless you, bro. Keep up the good work. Look forward to hearing great success with this bill.
Thank you, Rick.
That's Senator Dan Patrick. We'll be right back with David Barton.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Today, many claim that the government is slowly eroding individual rights. It is true that rights which our founders considered unalienable, including what the Declaration of Independence called the right to life, have now become alienable and are bestowed or removed at the pleasure of government. What caused our once unalienable liberties to become so alienable? Thomas Jefferson accurately identified the root of this problem when he declared, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath. According to Thomas Jefferson, our rights will remain unalienable only so long as we understand that God, and God alone, is the author of our rights.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
We're back at Wall Builders Live, back here with David Barton. David, I'm encouraged in a couple of things. I mean, first of all, that there's a state senator in Texas like this
that has these kind of values. A state senator anywhere that has these values.
And secondly, there's hope for radio commentators.
I'm not gonna anyway, buy it on that one.
Right.
That one's going by the way.
Okay, never mind. All right, so look, what do you do in a situation like this where you got a guy that has a great idea, a great bill? He's passed it out of the Senate before, but you got the other side of the legislature where it's been blocked before. Should we be at this point calling House members, going and meeting with them? I mean, tell me the right way for the folks listening right now in Texas to influence this bill.
Well, I would go even beyond Texas. I mean, this is the kind of thing, as you know from having been in the House, that in Texas with our 140-day session, things come down to the wire at the last, and you're going to have 300 bills in the last 3 days, and it's going to go boom, boom, boom. And if anybody does anything to prolong the session, if they get into a parliamentary battle or anything else, you may lose 30 bills as a result of that, because you got a sine die that happens at a particular point in time. Come midnight, they unplug that clock and turn the lights off, session's over.
Lots of bills die, right?
So what you got to do is you got to make sure that they get this bill before the end of the session. What we need people doing is calling the Texas House, say, look, this bill, you need to get it moving through the House right now. This does not need to be, because they had a coup last year at the House Speaker. They tried to throw the House Speaker out, which took about a day and a half. And killed several dozens of really good bills because of that last part. So that's one. But the other part is we need to take this same bill and go to other states and say, okay, guys, why don't we do this in our state? Because as you pointed out, rightfully so, guys are looking for good legislation,
right,
especially stuff in other states, and that's a big deal. And this kind of bill, it's called an informed consent bill. And right now 16 states have an ultrasound bill. But as Dan points out, the Texas bill, this one is the best one by far because it includes the heartbeat in there. You have to see and show the heartbeat. This is actually a bill that's been introduced at the federal level by Senator Sam Brownback. And Senator Brownback, bless his heart, is very much in a minority in a very pro-abortion U.S. Senate. So you can imagine that the chances of this seeing the light of day is about like us in Texas getting a snowstorm on the 4th of July. You know,
right.
It just ain't going to happen.
But it's still good to do it. Still it's good to get the.
But you know what was really
going.
Cool? And to make the point that Dan was talking about, when Senator Brownback introduced this bill in the Senate and it went up and it got a little bit of coverage and you know, different groups were noting it, he got a call from a lady who was really mad at him for having introduced the bill. And the lady said, if I had seen the ultrasound, I wouldn't have had my abortion. And he goes, bingo.
Yeah, exactly,
exactly
what we're doing.
Right. You know, and she used that argument trying to say how terrible this is. You would have stopped me from having an abortion if I'd seen what was going on. And that's exactly what the bill does.
Yeah.
And that is the point of the bill. But
I forgot to ask Senator Patrick, though, if 80% are doing it now,
are
they just not showing it? Is that the deal? They're doing it for the doctor to make sure medically whatever,
well,
but they're
I'm
not
sure
showing
that
it to the mom.
Yeah, they're not showing it to the mom. And I'm sure that that has something to do with legal liability. You know, that they've got to know exactly what they're getting into, because if there's any kind of malpractice, then it's coming back after them. So they're saving their own tail by doing it. But I thought that was a really profound strategy to say, well, if you're doing it for 80%, I mean, if you think it's that important to do it, then what's wrong with doing it for 100%? And why would you object to having everybody do what you already think is a sound medical practice?
Exactly.
You know, and that's really profound. And you guys were talking, too, about the youth. And by the way, man, I had not thought about that, but you guys are right. That younger generation, that's the first generation in American history that they didn't know if their birth was guaranteed.
I had never thought about that till he brought that up.
I mean, that is...
That changes your perspective.
It does.
Some, yeah.
I'm here, but that was. I mean, you, me, so many others. We go. Of course, we're here. Whether you know, of course, we were. But for them, it's like they didn't know.
No, and I was talking to a buddy of mine that supports this bill and was actually asking me about it. And he's adopted, and he was talking about how you know, he's given speeches and talked about, look, my mom chose life, and I wouldn't be here if she had made a different choice. He was actually born before Roe v. Wade. And that's what we were saying was, you know, this generation coming up has a very different perspective than those of us that were born before Roe v. Wade. And maybe it's not just the science. Well, it's also the kind of the self-preservation thing of, hey, that could have been me. This thing is real.
But I also think there's a spiritual component, because I really do think that America is in a great awakening.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll see that till decades from now. That's the way it always works historically. But you guys were talking about stats, and let me just throw some numbers at you. It was just 2 years ago that America first, since Roe v. Wade, became a majority pro-life nation. At that point in time, 53% said, we think abortion is morally wrong. That is flat wrong. We've been at 47% and 43%, but first time we got over 50, and we're now at 53%. Well, you pose the same question to young people, and what you find was that young people, it isn't 53% who believe that, it's 72% who believe that.
Big difference.
You know, that's a 20-point. Where'd they get that belief? It couldn't have come from their parents or couldn't come from the culture or their teachers, but yet they're 20 points more pro-life than those who instruct them, which is a profound difference.
And going the right direction.
Going the right direction.
We were 72% and they were 53%, that's bad news. We're losing long term. What you're saying is the ones coming up right now,
guess what that means? I mean, these kids that go through Patriot Academy, they're going to be our leaders in 10, 15, 20 years. And guess what happens to abortion debates at that point in time?
I love it. Praise the Lord. Great news, and good news for everyone out there. Get the information on this bill. Make sure that you have it happening in your state. Get your legislator pushing.
Thanks
to Dan Patrick for coming on. Thanks for listening to Wall Builders Live.
Stand undivided.